What's up, Bush League Sports Podcast? Tonight is around 7:30-ish Eastern Time on Wednesday, January 29th. Just me and Jake tonight, no Mac with us. He is out for personal reasons. This episode is going to be a little bit of a different one. We're not going to do the intro music. This will probably be episode number 824.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep it 824.
If that's good with you, Jake.
Because I don't think we'll be getting to episode 824 anytime soon anyways.
If we do, we can skip it. We can go from 823 to 825, and I don't think anyone will have a problem with that.
No.
As many of you know by now, Kobe Bryant tragically passed away on Sunday, and it literally shocked the sports world.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even trying to be like, it's been all over the news. Like, I haven't been able to go on I'm not even saying it's in a bad way, but I haven't been able to go on a social media platform since it happened and not see something about it.
It was by far the most just of a death of a person that I haven't been connected to. Not just affecting me, but just seeing how it affected so many people. I mean, it really felt like the earth stopped spinning for about three to five hours on Sunday afternoon.
You know, and it did kind of stop it, where it just nobody said anything besides that for, it was a good part of the afternoon.
Obviously, Kobe he stood for so much in the NBA, his competitiveness, his work ethic. He kind of passed the torch from Michael Jordan to LeBron. Uh-huh. He's the closest thing to Michael Jordan we've ever seen. He is the Michael Jordan of our generation.
Well, and that's really one of the things is people, for the most of the past decade, people have debated whether it's LeBron or Kobe. Mm-hmm. Just that kind of debate. And it's just weird to see that Kobe dies. And the last thing he tweeted was about LeBron telling him to keep going and congratulating him on passing him. Mm-hmm. So just kind of, I don't know. It puts in perspective that the debate really doesn't mean that much. And right. There's a lot more to it than
and
records.
One of the coolest things about that, too, is seeing Kobe. It's really what made it harder was Kobe having such tunnel vision as a player. You know, probably the pioneer of guys, and there really aren't many like him anyways, but just he was that first wave of guys who were like, I'm just going to lock in so much on my job and just be so obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Like, we can even get into some of those stories a little later in the episode, but just complete dedication to his craft. And a lot of times people worry about those guys when they retire because it's like, what is your attention going to?
Yeah.
You have so much free time. But Kobe made that transition seamlessly.
Well, and yeah, he just put it all into his daughters. And the kind of girl dad thing has been going around now after, I don't even know her name, came on ESPN and talked about her story there with Kobe.
Oh, gosh. I want to say it was Ramona Shelburne.
It very well could
sounds
be.
Right. But, I mean, that was so sad.
Yeah, and it just, as tragic as
it was, L. Duncan.
Okay.
From ESPN.
As tragic as it is, it's also fitting that he died with Gigi. Kind of what he's moved on from basketball. That's been a huge part of his life.
Mm-hmm. But so one like kind of discussion starter, I guess, could be where were you when you found this out? Like, what was that moment like for you hearing
this? And we were talking about that, and like this is it's going to be up there when you talk about like with your parents where they were at with 9/11 or the passing of like Michael Jackson. They most of them remember it. So I've kind of, I guess it's not funny, but just an interesting story. About I was at Midway Park throwing with Tyler Shea. Mm-hmm. I didn't have my phone on me because left it. And then we were just throwing. And then a dad, and like, I kind of didn't even think about it when I heard. Like, I was like, okay, just probably one of their friends or something. Didn't really think much about it. Then the kid, I heard him keep talking. And then I keep talking. So then I eventually was like, I got to check my phone. Mm-hmm. And just looked, blew up my phone with a bunch of texts and stuff, and that's when I kind of officially learned about it. So
I was just coming back from just kind of running around, was in my garage, parked the car, checked my phone, and I opened up Twitter, and the first thing I saw, it was retweeted by just one of these NBA accounts, and it was just TMZ's report that said Kobe Bryant has died in a helicopter crash. And I was like, this is fake.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things that he's such an icon, such an influential person that you just refuse to believe.
Well, and the way he played basketball and how he carried himself, he seemed invincible.
He did. It was like, you cannot crack this guy. And so I was so caught off guard by it, and it was more of just, there's no way this is real. They got hacked. Like, let's just wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
And it took forever. TMZ was on it so fast compared to everyone else.
Well, and that's another problem with it is when TMZ reported it, they found they reported it before the families from the crash even learned about it.
Which is terrible.
So, like, the fact that one of their family members most likely saw it on Twitter, scrolling through just casually on a Sunday, it sucks.
I know. But about 15 minutes later, Woj actually tweeted it and, like, confirmed with sources and stuff. Yeah. And I think once I saw that, it really started to set in. I didn't move from my car for 30 to 45 minutes. Like, it really was the type thing where it absolutely shook me. It was unbelievable.
We were getting ready to record over here, but we just ended up not recording.
I mean, 3-4 o'clock, and just ended up just watching Kobe tribute videos all the time. It was like specific memories of Kobe Bryant that just, like, really defined what he was as a player.
No, I mean, I do remember, I don't even know, I told you when we were talking this on Sunday, I told you the same story, but just someone about, it was someone more personal, was somehow related to Kobe, and he was talking about his work ethic and, like, how he could get to where Kobe was, and just to see the grind that Kobe does.
Uh-huh.
And it was something along the lines like, hey, Kobe's working out, like, this 4 o'clock the next day, and you can come and watch. So the dude showed up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
Just like the average person would assume.
Uh-huh.
But with Kobe, it was different. So he shows up at 4 o'clock, calls the guy. Where is he? I thought he was working out now. It's like, no, he was 4 a.m. Like, are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
Then you can come tomorrow again. So he shows up 4 a.m. Kobe goes through his 2-hour workout. Then he goes back and eats breakfast. Then he comes back for his team workout. Like, just the grind that Kobe and the work ethic he had.
Uh-huh.
It's just something.
Yeah, he will always be remembered for that. And really, one thing for me, it was his attention to detail. Mm-hmm. And so this one story, he was in Charlotte and shooting around before the game, and it was near the back end of his career. And so Kobe had that aura about him that when he came to town, so many people loved to come watch him work out before games, that type of thing. And even players from the opposing team.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 or 3 players from Charlotte are just sitting there watching Kobe go through his shooting workout. And they're on the other side of the court, so they can't quite hear him, really. And Kobe's missing a good amount of shots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what the quote said. I don't know what missing a good amount of shots for Kobe is like, but it said he was definitely, you could tell he was off.
Well, and I remember the same story, and it's almost like, it wasn't that he was just missing a good amount, like, he was missing a lot.
Yeah, and so they're just a little thrown off, and they see Kobe complaining, like, bad body language and stuff. And so Kobe calls over a custodian guy, like a maintenance guy,
uh-huh.
and talks to him a little while. And Kobe basically complains that the goal is 1/4 inch too low. That the goal is 9'11¾".
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's missing the shots. So the Charlotte guys naturally think it's crazy. Workout ends, they go away, whatever. That night, Kobe, it really doesn't pertain to the story, but it's just cherry on top. He has like 40 that night.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, some of the Charlotte players, they go ask the custodian or manager that they were talking to, like, what would Kobe want? And they found out, like, he really noticed the goal was off by 1/4 inch. And the goal was actually off 1/4 inch. Like, they brought the tape measure out,
uh-huh.
and it was 1/4 inch too short. And they raised it 1/4 inch, and that was enough.
It's just the fact that 1/4 inch even matters to him is just insane.
Uh-huh.
And just when I picture that story in my head, I picture them pulling out a tape measure, Kobe walking off the court knowing they're going to have to fix it, and them getting to 10 feet and it being just 1/4 inch too high, and they go, right. Wow, are you kidding me?
Uh-huh. I mean, it's just, the attention to detail is insane. And so obviously there were some great Twitter moments, just social media.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the emotional ones, Doc Rivers had a tearjerker one.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that. It was just directly after it.
He was so choked up.
No, one thing, do you think they should have played the games on Sunday?
I thought they were going to cancel them. I was certain.
Well, apparently the original plan was to cancel them, then they revoked it immediately, but
I understand a lot goes into arena planning, because so many of these places share arenas with just so much other stuff.
Yeah.
The schedule, but that video of Tyson Chandler on the bench really comes back to me, where he was just bawling, crying.
Yeah.
Like, that's a...
And Kyrie didn't even play.
And so many guys didn't play.
Yeah.
So many guys didn't even play a couple nights before. Guys are still not playing.
Uh-huh.
And one thing that made Kobe different, too, was a lot of guys, when they have people look up to them in the younger generation of the league, like, they'll reciprocate a little bit of interest. But so often it's not that genuine. Like, it's just, I'll help you here and then.
Yeah.
He was such a big mentor to so many guys in the NBA. Kyrie, Tatum, were just two in particular. I mean, those guys are heartbroken right now.
Yeah, I mean, it just really puts perspective, like how much basketball, how little it really is. And I know it was a huge part of Kobe's life, and he always said basketball is his life.
It's the relationships that make
but, it. Like, it's just everything that comes with basketball that really helps him. And it does show how much there really is more to it. I forget who it even was, but someone basically texted. It was like they tweeted something like, hey, I don't know who they tweeted at, but it was like, hey, like, I just want to, like, make sure, like, we're good. I know we were arguing. Oh, it was
Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, with KD. Uh-huh. And just, like, texted me, hey, let's just, this basketball thing.
It
and
prompted him to say
and
something.
You switching teams, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I want to make sure our friendship's good, which is just kind of the, hopefully, the few good things that come out of this.
And another thing just to think about was Kobe's influence on the girls' side of basketball, especially with Gianna coming up, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just started to really pour into that side of the game. He was really close with Sabrina Ionescu, the National Player of the Year frontrunner from Oregon, closely tied with UConn's program, mm-hmm. all the WNBA. He was really kind of pushing that agenda, almost for his daughter, to really, in a world where, quite frankly, WNBA, ratings-wise, participation-wise, is just nowhere near on par with the NBA.
No.
And, you know, he fought for that. So that was, obviously, I've seen it affect men's basketball tremendously across the world. Is Kobe being an international star, but also just the women's side, like coaches and players alike, they really felt this one.
Yeah, I mean, it was just something that it just shows his love for basketball and how much he really does care. To even like, he could easily retired and just gotten away from everything, but he just, to be the dad he was to his girls and to help push for the betterment of women's basketball and his daughter's futures, it's interesting to see.
Oh, and so one thing that really brightened my mood a little bit was I saw some just like an article. It was just cool Kobe stories, like funny Kobe moments or whatever, to really just kind of lighten the mood of everything you've seen. And so one of them was
and people call him the greatest storyteller from basketball just because he's
we
watched that one video. I don't even know who the guy was. The Gary Vee,
off-brand Gary Vee.
Yeah, just talking to Kobe and just Kobe having so many just different stories about basketball and how much he's learned from it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's important to know Kobe won an Oscar.
For Dear Basketball.
For a short film.
Yeah.
Oh, in this interview with Kobe, it was golden. He said the person was kind of just talking like, how did that happen? Like, almost a year after you retire, you win an Oscar?
Yeah.
And Kobe responded so like calm, but almost like intimidating. He was like, people ask me that all the time. They go, how did that happen? Like, how do you just 6 months off removed from playing an NBA 20-year career win an Oscar, like such a prized award?
Mm-hmm.
And he just talked about how that something like that is just so long in the making. Like, really up until halfway through his career, sure, he was playing basketball, but he started just pouring into filmmaking, storytelling. Like, Kobe was the type of guy that almost as his career went on, his attention and that passion even started to shift other places. And that's the same thing you saw him apply to the business world, to writing, to his family. And mm-hmm. so he was, while it sometimes could seem that he wasn't very well-versed, he was so dedicated to whatever he was doing, it made him well-versed in a lot of different things.
And I saw another thing is, it was a quote for him of just, I don't know the exact quote, but along the lines of something like, it's not the amount of hours that you put in, because you can be out there all day, but it's how many hours that your mind is there.
Mm-hmm.
And just the focus, because it really is amazing. If you look at his schedule, he was at basketball a lot. But if you're that focused in every part of your life, you can get so much more done.
Because you're not wasting any time.
Yeah.
Kobe's the king of just being mentally tough.
Mm-hmm.
This one story I kind of wanted to go over, a little humorous, is when he posted a picture with his Mamba team with three of the players who tragically died. But it was a while ago. And he posted on Instagram, and his caption reads, "Here's our fourth place winner's picture, LOL. Six of the kids in the picture stayed with me and worked every single day to get better and continue to work to this day. The seventh player, not in the pick, missed this game for a dance recital, so that should tell you where her focus was at the time." So Kobe, the ultimate competitor, willing to throw a seventh grader some slight shade on his Instagram for putting dance before basketball. And only that's something only Kobe would do.
No, because everyone else would look at it and be like, hey, do what you want to do, like, it's just basketball, where Kobe's like, nah, we're going to win this thing, and if you don't care about it, then why are you even a part of it?
Yeah, and Lou Williams shared the story of how some point when they were both on the Lakers, they played a road game in Portland, and apparently they just sucked. And Kobe was mad at their competitiveness. Uh-huh. And he took everyone's shoes, everyone's Kobe's, off of their feet. Because, like, half the team was wearing Kobe's. And threw them in the trash can and said they don't deserve to wear them because they're soft.
Yeah.
He has so many of this, just those alpha moments.
And there was another one you talked about, your attention to detail earlier, with the Kobe's again. He had one where he had a, I guess it was a new model come out, and he was wearing them a little bit. Didn't really feel right. So he had Nike shave off, like, it's like half a centimeter worth of, like,
it was millimeters.
Yeah, like millimeters worth of stuff, just so his quickness could be better and reaction time was better. Like, it's just the fact that, like, I can't tell you the last time I put on shoes, like, feels about like a half millimeter smaller. I'd be able to run a little quicker.
Yeah.
But, like, that's just what that's how he was.
Uh-huh.
And just a perfectionist.
These keep coming back to me. One boss Kobe story was, obviously, he learned Slovenia's language for Sasha Vucevic during their career. But when Luka Doncic was on the court and Kobe's just right behind him, like, he was talking trash to him in Slovenian, whatever the heck it is. I don't know. But then that Luka, like, it just catches him off guard and he turns around and it's like, it's Kobe. Yeah. It's like, that's such a Kobe move.
It's just like, I'm going to, like, how can I get in this guy's head?
Uh-huh.
Like, not even, at that point, it wasn't even, like, a super, like, it's not even he was playing against him, but just, like, just how can I mess with this guy? And, like, I'm just going to get in his head always about inbound this ball.
Mm-hmm. And it'll always come back to the classic Matt Barnes just, like, faking the ball right in his face, no flinch. I mean, Kobe's focus, dedication was just on a completely another level. The Kanye commercial, where he's screaming at him and he goes, you have to be a different animal, but the same beast, is how he ends it. Mm-hmm. Like, he was a slightly weird dude, a little bit, but I think anyone who accomplishes stuff crazy like that has a little bit of just that, you can't be like everyone else if you're going to accomplish what he accomplished.
You can't look at him and be like, he was definitely a little crazy for basketball. Definitely a tad over the top, but
he was insane for basketball.
But he was so dedicated. I think that's the thing when you talk about his daughters, is that it's nice to see that it was more than just basketball for him. He's able to be so dedicated to his daughters. And so he did really have that life outside of basketball that is good to see.
And it was also really wholesome I just kind of thought about it. Kobe mending his relationship with Shaq, like, over the past couple of years, just since they've been playing, like, they had that sit down interview where they kind of, like, hashed out of so much of his stuff.
Yeah.
Kobe really, as tragically as it had to end, he really did tie up a lot of loose ends just with his career. I mean, it looked like, the saddest part is it looked like he was destined, him and Gianna were destined for so much more.
Yeah.
Gianna was just getting started, and somehow after the career he had, Kobe made you seem like he was just getting started. Like, who knows what he was going to be able to accomplish in the next 15, 20 years. I mean, that dude, I would bet on him to accomplish anything, honestly,
with
how he's built and wired.
And it's just, what was I going to say?
Take your time. I can talk about Kobe all day.
Keep talking. That'll come back to me. I had another story I was going to tell.
Okay. And the Kobe stories, it's just, there's countless, like, and it's, the NBA is such a fraternity, too. You see all these guys changing their numbers now.
Yeah.
Out of respect for Kobe. Dallas retiring the number.
Do you think the number should be retired across the league?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think it should be a league-wide mandatory thing. You see guys like Spencer Dinwiddie is changing it from 8 to 26.
But does it get to a point where, like, everyone just starts changing their number? So it's, why not just retire the number?
Because some people honor it differently. I mean, there's going to be a generation coming up that wants to wear it for him.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a guy, I forget what team it was. He's like a two-way contract player. And he's currently number 24.
Okay.
And his role model growing up was Kobe. And obviously he's got a lot of media pressure on, like, dude, this guy sucks. Like, we can't let him wear 24 or whatever. Uh-huh. But he's been so, I really appreciate it. He's been so, like, headstrong in what he thinks. And he's going, look, I've worn 24 my whole life because of Kobe Bryant. He's been my favorite player my whole life. I'm not going to change
it. No, that shouldn't change.
Like, he's wearing it in honor of him.
Yeah.
So I think it was I really do like the gesture from Mark Cuban to retire it, but I don't think it needs to be a
league-wide thing. And it also speaks volumes that the Lakers, it was like, what is it? Was it even 2 years out of retirement? Maybe 1 year out of retirement. They retired both of his numbers. Yeah, like, just how good of a player he was. I do think for the All-Star game, they should have each team, one team were all 8, one team were all 24. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, they have an opportunity to do some really cool stuff to honor them. Obviously, it shook the NBA, but
yeah. And I don't think it, like, the league-wide number rule there. I also don't think the logo should be changed.
No, I don't. The logo's a weird one because Jerry West really... There are a lot of players who could be the logo over Jerry West.
Well, you know the interesting thing about it is the NBA won't admit that it's Jerry West because then they don't have to pay him anything for putting his face everywhere. So they won't admit it's Jerry West, even Seriously? Though everyone knows it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I saw it the other day, but
like royalty on that?
It'd be too irrational to change the logo.
Because, I mean, the NBA logo's everywhere.
Yeah, think about like how many places that you see the NBA logo and how many times they would have to change it, like. It takes so long to just fully get the old logo out and the new logo in that I don't know if they would even do it.
And that's one of the things that Kobe, I don't think it really would matter that much.
Like, no.
Kobe was a competitor. Kobe was a winner. And Kobe poured everything he had into what he was doing.
Yeah.
And I really don't think he's overly concerned in how they honor him as long as he just gets the respect he deserves, which I think he has. I haven't seen much negativity. I mean, the support has been outpouring.
Yeah, and the good thing is you started to see, obviously for the first day or so, everyone was so shocked and so just sad about it. It's starting to take a turn into where it's more just remembering what he was and how we can keep his legacy and what he tried to do moving forward.
And since Sunday, too, there have been just random times where I'll just be like forgetting about it, and then it comes to my head, and I'm like, "Dang, dude, Kobe Bryant."
It's one of those things where you still don't believe it's real,
and it still hasn't completely set in for me.
Yeah,
I know it happened. I've heard all about it. I've seen all about it. I've cried, but it feels like I'm just gonna see him at a Lakers game in a week.
Yeah,
and he'll be dapping up players.
It'll be sad to not see a smile around the league anymore.
And I wanted the Hall of Fame speech so bad. If anyone was going to have just a boss Hall of Fame speech,
it would have been Kobe.
It was going to be Kobe.
Just tell some whack story that like just no one else would even...
Blew their mind. Or like Kobe just had such a platform, such a otherworldly aura about him that just mm-hmm. was so intimidating. But you could just tell he held himself to the higher standard. So it would have been one of the coolest Hall of Fame speeches ever.
And to me, the most heartbreaking thing from the story is still obviously his death, but his wife, Vanessa, she finally today did the first public thing she's done since it.
Uh-huh.
And she changed her profile picture to a picture of Gigi and Kobe on Instagram.
Yeah.
But, like, I saw a report that, like, people from around, like, I can't imagine losing your husband, daughter, and
mm-hmm.
in the span at the same time. But, like, people are saying she's still, like, she can't talk without crying. She yeah. can't finish her sentences. Like, that. It's just heartbreaking to see.
And even the other people on the plane. One of those dudes was really accomplished, the baseball coach. Yeah,
JUCO baseball coach. Like,
yeah, just... so many lives affected. And yeah. there was a player on that team I saw who said something. It was like, I lost my childhood hero and my favorite coach ever
yeah.
at the same time.
Like I can imagine what that baseball team's going through.
What that basketball team's getting ready to do. I mean, it's just, it was a tragic situation. A lot of us felt it through Kobe worldwide.
And the good thing is... It's interesting to see because Kobe is going to overshadow this event for these families but it's good to see that at least these other names are getting recognized and people do really feel for them. It's good to see that everyone affected has been at least everyone feels for them.
I mean, even at Denmark the other night, we had a little thing. We let the clock run out. I wore some purple Kobes that mm-hmm. night. It was just, Kobe truly left his basketball impact everywhere that will not be forgotten probably ever. I mean, and you can see glimpses of Kobe everywhere in the game today, just through how he played, the competitiveness, the athleticism, the footwork. I mean, Kobe really did. He changed everything.
He did.
So that's the 24-minute mark, I think, right about now.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to wrap this up in honor of Mamba.
I think that's a fitting way to do it.
I know it was a different episode, but yeah. we had to get this one off.
We had to do it, and I hope you guys... just listen to it. Remember him now as we
reflect on Kobe. Try to bring his mentality into your life and everything you do, and you will benefit from it.
And our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to everyone else that was affected, not just Kobe and his family, but everyone affected on that helicopter on Sunday.
100%. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.